Star Dwellers by James Blish. Overview. An alien race is discovered by humanity for the first time. These aliens seem to be blowing up Earth spaceships. How rude. But it doesn't seem malicious. It is up to three men from Earth assigned by the UN to make a treaty with the aliens. And there you know how it's fiction, is that the UN does something. From what I've been told, James Blish is a pulp author who is known for including religion in his sci-fi. This is an area of sci-fi that I feel is very lacking. Not that I don't understand it, but the fact that it is rarely dealt with is in these different worlds is a loss to storytelling. I rarely do synopsis for books and reviews, but these older pulp novels, they don't tend to have the best descriptions. So very quickly, an alien race is discovered by humanity for the first time. These aliens are referred to as angels and as one of the first beings created after the Big Bang, and they live forever. They exist as glowing cubes that have the capacity of blowing up Earthships. They've done so in the past due to not knowing how to interact with humanity until one of them, nicknamed Lucifer, a play on the name for Fallen One, who accidentally enters the engine area of one of the ships, and they can find out that it harnesses energy that can greatly enhance mankind's ability to travel the cosmos. It is now the job of three men assigned to the UN to make a treaty with the aliens. The three men are the worldwide respected ambassador, a hero soldier, and a young man from an elite cadet organization whose job it is to stay on the ship while the other two take an unobtrusive ship to make contact with the alien, the angel leaders. The main character of the story, Jack Loftus, is the cadet, which is already a great start. Blish wrote the novelizations of some of the stories from the original Star Trek, and his writings read like sci-fi in the Star Trek universe. A major plus. While there is a focus on two other members of the crew, and Jack isn't just some cadet, but an elite cadet, he is still the odd man out, which makes for a great hero main character. There isn't really much focus on the other characters, and the two other crew members get out of the picture pretty quickly. The story starts off well and slow enough to build up. There's an exposition dump at the start that's done within the confines of the logic of the story. There is no, as you all know, proceed to explain what everyone knows for 30 pages. There is some good technology talk concerning the aliens and humanity's technology. It's advanced for star travel, but not really that broad. Again, for 1961, there's a decent amount of science that isn't hand-waved away of tachyon fields mumbo-jumbo. The way ships travel at almost speed of light is a bubble-type field that takes into account that the mass of the ship and occupants increase. Pretty neat science talk there. The story does kind of stall for a bit before the main storyline, but there is some interesting coverage of what the future was in 1961. There's talks of two sexes, which for modern-day Star Trek stories is heretical. They talk about how music corrupted the youth, so the cadet organization instilled celibacy during the time in service so the focus on the job would be prioritized. Education was given to them to value high-minded concepts and instill duty to carry them out. The background even brings up some flaws with this, as they say that they didn't want to use legislation to handle the corruption because the other side could deem you as the enemy and might be used and might use it again in your bad taste. 2001 would like to have a word with Guantanamo with that take. Lines like addiction being the disease until you legislate it, then it turns in addicts into criminals, and legislation against smut creates black markets is a very libertarian understanding for 1961 sci-fi. Talks of pacifism in the age of nuclear weapons is pretty neat to see in a book of that era. We go on to find out that the other alien species is kind of a federation of planets, and they're looking at what humanity does with these angels to see if they should be included. In this book, there isn't much that goes into that, but it adds a good deal of tension point that adds to the drama. The alien angels themselves actually read as, well, alien. There's a fear, or at least a trepidation, since they are so powerful and a danger to humanity. It would have been nice to build that up a little bit more within the unfolding of the plot, but it's covered enough that adds to the drama. Attempts at communication are handled quickly, saving for time, but the way in which communication takes place is what makes the story interesting. Especially since the cabin boy is in charge of the negotiations, while the hero and the delegate from Earth are lost in space. Communication and acts based upon standards of importance are what's focused in an unfolding plot. The aliens are surprised at humanity's being a young species and having a sense of justice. Humanity is able to teach them about deals and bargaining, which leads to talks about treaties. Way better than Star Wars Episode 1. The negotiations with the leader angel happens very quickly, and it's a thoughtful answer to what would benefit both sides in the negotiation. The final act of Jack needing to explain himself before the UN seems very odd and loses a lot of the momentum of drama and possible danger. there is an added discussion about whether something so alien could be trusted. There was a lot more that could have been unfolded here, like lying in a universal concept as well. And why should humanity be trusted? A funny point towards the end shows that the 24-hour news cycle is a modern-day invention, and I don't really buy Bush's point on this. The aliens discovered wasn't even kept secret, but people heard about it on the news and didn't really care because it didn't affect them until they came to Earth for the negotiations. Yeah, I doubt it, even before the days before CNN, Fox, and etc. Overall, I enjoyed the story, even though I had a few sections where Bush slowed the story down a bit. There are some good turns of phrases and allusions to biblical imagery that add to the character's story. The ending doesn't feel the need to complete all the component plot open up. It does offer hope and an eschaton while being a Genesis. Final grade, B+.